Bringing a data center online takes more than equipment. It takes precision. Graybar helps customers predict, stage, schedule, deliver, and verify every step of the build with critical products that are available now. From networking and wireless to critical power and testing tools, our teams help you reduce downtime risk and keep projects on track. Speed. Scale. Ready now. Yep. Graybar does that.
Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Let me tell you a little something about this Florida Gators team. The Florida Gators, with 4 minutes and 3 seconds left to go against UConn, they were down by three. With 3 minutes and 14 seconds left to go against Texas Tech, they were down by nine. At halftime against Auburn, they trailed by eight. With 16 minutes to go against Houston, they trailed by 12. Todd Golden and the Gators able to come back and win all of those games. Oh, man. Thank God they beat Dan Hurley and UConn. That was like the one game that I super got into. I'm not a Dan Hurley guy. I understand there's like an art to coaching and there's an art to the theatrics sometimes, but I think Hurley crosses a line. This is a take that makes sense for me. I also think that Bobby Knight ruined a generation of coaches at the high school level, as way too many people have tried to emulate the worst of his behavior. Man, if UConn would have beat Florida, that would have sucked. Anyway, they didn't. Florida beating Houston. Here's what's crazy. Here's what's crazy. Houston just benefited from another team falling apart, and then they fell apart. You're not going to get over this loss. They were in that locker room for like 45 minutes. Nobody came out for a while. Normally, the losing coach is interviewed very quietly outside the locker room. I've got no problem. I don't think we need to do that. I hate when they do it. After this game, they do it after the Super Bowl. We don't need to do it. Who does that benefit? Yeah, coach, how do you feel? Well, you know, I feel bad for our guys. It's the same thing all the time. Let him be with his guys. Let him be sad. Let him be sad. That was the right word to enunciate. You don't need that interview. Nobody's asking for it. You only do it because you feel like you need to do it. It's part of the TV production. You don't need it. You don't need that side of the story. It really pisses me off.
Yeah, you know we need it. We do need it. Because the second we don't get it, morons like us, not us per se, I'm talking about us in our industry. Oh, he doesn't have the guts to come out and face the music. He can't be a good sport. You know, oh, man, what a gutless turd. He can't come out and take the L like a man. That's exactly what would happen.
Yeah, and none of us idiots in this business would ever talk to a reporter 75 seconds after the worst moment of our life. Although some of us are just vain enough that we actually might. Never mind.
Don't ask me a question. I am punching that phone out of your hand.
And then if they talk like Cam Newton and are all sad, you're like, oh, he's the worst person ever.
Exactly. It's a lose-lose for these guys. I kind of hate us.
Yeah, I do. I certainly do. 1:14 left in the game against Duke. Houston went on an 11-1 run. 1:25 in the game against Florida. That was the last shot they took. Florida only led for 63 seconds. They won the national championship. Your thoughts. Brent is in Myrtle Beach. Brent.
Hey, Bartimus. One thing I don't think we've kind of emphasized enough tonight is how much all the NIL money from football has affected this basketball tournament. Like, the SEC is really kicking some tail. I also live in ACC country. We're not as good at basketball as we used to be because of those football dollars. It also puts the Big East in kind of a tough position as well. UConn and St. John's didn't have, you know, kind of the seasons they wanted at the end of the year.
Yeah.
And I felt really bad for the guy who took the last shot. He looked like he was quite a bit shorter than the defender that was on him. And it was one of those situations where he either needed to pump fake, or if he had already left his feet, he has to throw the ball off the defender to give himself a chance. But as we see with Weber calling the timeout, or that, you know, it's been like 42 years that Georgetown game where the guy just straight up threw the ball to the UNC player. I forget their names, but it's like the last seconds of the game when you have that much pressure on you. You know, sometimes you don't react well. And I feel for that dude. He had better options that he could have done even in that situation. But, yeah, just comments on that last play and also how I think the football money's feeding into the SEC as a basketball conference. But y'all have a good night. Talk to y'all later.
I personally am respecting them more as a basketball conference than I am football at this point. Brent, thanks for the call. We've had coverage of the Final Four in San Antonio with our very own Zach Gelb. He joins us now. Zach, how are you?
Bart, just making my one quota, as I promised. I said I would call you once a month when you least expect it. I was all jacked up after the championship game, can't sleep, and I heard you debate Central Time Zone being the best time zone.
Yes.
This is not me calling in to say Eastern Time is the best time, because it's not. I would actually say Mountain Time, because if I was in Mountain Time...
I think Mountains, yeah, I agree.
Because, you know, it's, what, 1 a.m. here on the East Coast, so is there really a difference between 1 and midnight? No, you give me 11 p.m., and I can get some good sleep, and that's not going to be the case right now.
So you were in San Antonio. You got to see the Duke collapse. You know, the juxtaposition that I keep saying is with a minute 14 to go in that game, Houston went on an 11-1 run. Tonight, they took a shot at the 125 mark and then didn't get another shot off the rest of the time. I think that because Houston won that game the way they did, it actually somehow makes this loss even worse. This is one of those losses you just never get over.
Yeah, I still think the Duke loss is actually worse just because I know it was in the semifinal, not the championship game, but that was 6 points with 34 seconds to go. I'm not excusing what happened tonight with Houston, but man, you know, usually when a team wins a championship, especially in March Madness, they lose a game, or they win a game that they probably should have lost. We've now seen three times in this tournament, UConn, Texas Tech, and then tonight, Florida win games that in all likelihood they probably should have lost.
Oh, they could have lost to UConn. They could have lost to Texas Tech.
They could have
lost the last couple of games. They were like, you know, we keep saying all this tournament, there wasn't not close games. Florida's like, dude, we like, it's a miracle we won this.
So I was trying to find some Kelvin Sampson sound. Well, he didn't speak to CBS afterwards. Is that what you were saying?
Well, he did not speak on the TV broadcast. I'm not sure if he's spoken at all yet at a podium.
I'm sure he did the post media, but I actually think the CBS interview. So, like, in-game interviews, like for example, when they do the NBA in-game interviews, I find them pointless. But after the game, I know it's kind of a little morbid, but I would want to hear from Kelvin Sampson because, like, what the heck happened in the final 20 seconds? I get it, they were going for the win, but you can't wait right until the end, especially how discombobulated that play was.
Isn't it always weird when you watch, like, when you watch a basketball game and they inbound it with that much time and then you know that you're watching the final play? It really throws me off. Like, I'm so used to clock stoppage or timeouts, and you just can't believe, like, oh my God, this is actually the final play. It's weird.
Yeah, and you know what? In this case, with this one, because I know, right, you'll have everyone second-guessing it tomorrow. I try to do it, what I'm saying in the moment, and not try to alter the take afterwards. I was screaming at my TV. I was like, go, go, you got to go, you got to go. So I respect that they tried to go for the win and right, get a three at the buzzer and have your Chris Jenkins type of moment, even though that game was tied and this one it was down by two. But I hated in the moment how long they were waiting.
So Zach Gelb show, check it out. Afternoons, Infinity Sports Network, Odyssey app. Do you think what we got, I think I saw you allude to it tonight or reference it, everyone was complaining that the first few rounds were not great. And there was, you know, some decent games in there, but for the most part, we didn't get the big upsets. I would always argue that college basketball is like, we fool ourselves. We think like, oh, you want to watch the name brands and basket in the NBA and baseball. Oh, Yankee, you want to, not in college basketball. We love the upsets. Yeah, we love the upsets in the moment, but then we're not watching George Mason as much as we're watching these four teams. If a 12-13 by some act of God have to match up in a Sweet 16, that's the least watch of the tournament. I think there's plenty of reasons to think, in NIL, transfer portal, that's a big one, that this is a trend that will continue where the first couple of rounds are not great, but will deliver because you've had like four of the best all-time teams the last 30 years in this tournament. There's also some things, the three-point shooting was really bad. There were just some other things going on. I don't know that it's this extreme, but I would like, I'm going to start maybe putting less upsets in my brackets.
I really think we have a lot of spoiled people. It's my, like, since 2018, yeah, we've seen two 16s beat one. That's not supposed to happen. We've seen a handful of twos go down to 15s. And you know what? Even those years when that happened, I heard people do the take of, oh, well, Cinderellas are good, but I don't want Cinderellas in the Elite Eight or the Final Four because then they meet their match. So it's like almost damned if you do, damned if you don't. I'm not going to make a crazy big take off of one tournament, what it means down the road for the future. I understand what you're saying with NIL and the transfer portal on a lot of these mid-majors. You have one good season, and then all your players are going to get plucked, and they're going to go somewhere else. But, you know, after, I thought the only round that was pedestrian was the first round, the round of 64. And we did have a 12 seed right win in McNeese, so it's not like you didn't have any upset. But with that being said, to the Sweet 16 and on, I thought it was a really good tournament. And the last three games of the year, the two Final Four games, were sensational. And tonight, even though at times it looked like a rugby match or a football game, it gave you a great ending right down to the wire where Florida found a way to pull Rabbit out of the hat. So, you know, I didn't miss the Cinderella. Now, I love Cinderellas. I think you still get a Cinderella from time to time because that's what happens in a single elimination tournament. But if you tell me we continue to get the big dogs there and we get an epic Final Four and then a very good championship game, I don't see what anyone can complain about.
I am racking my brain to try to figure out how to phrase a question. I want to ask you, like, what's your biggest takeaway of the tournament? But I didn't want to ask you it that plainly.
How about this? What's the most memorable moment of the tournament? You want to do that?
Zach, you were there, and I know that you enjoyed the Final Four. You've been following this tournament. You're as well-versed in college basketball as anybody on this network. What was your most memorable moment of this tournament?
Oh, at first I thought you just weren't even listening to what I was saying, and then I realized, oh, Bart's going to make himself sound really smart here. Duke choking.
Well, because we cut the part of the podcast. We'll cut that part out.
Yeah. Duke choking. That to me was the most memorable part of this tournament. Obviously Florida winning it all is going to be up there. Bruce Pearl and Kelvin Sampson coming close, but yet so far, Khan, right? Ara Khan from McNeese with the boom box. I'm sure you didn't love that, but I thought that was pretty cool. And then Kevin Willard.
Didn't even mention it. Haven't even brought it up on my show.
And then Kevin Willard just acting, you know, I understand you want to leave and go to Villanova. I have no problem with that. But just the way that it went down and him pretending like he had no clue what was going on. So I would say those are a handful of moments that I'll remember. But it starts with Duke because when I left that game, I still to this day, you know, 2 days removed, don't even know how to process what I saw. And it was the most shocked I've ever been leaving a building since 28-3 when I saw the Falcons blow that to the Patriots in the Super Bowl. But that Duke-Houston game, that was over. Houston snatched victory from the jaws of defeat. And then tonight, you saw Florida snatch victory from the jaws of defeat. And I thought the great irony of the game tonight was for most of the game, it was Houston's defense was the story, and Florida looked like they were a bunch of chickens with their heads cut off. And then in the final 30 seconds, it was Florida's defense was the story, and Houston wasn't ready for the moment. So I thought that was a little bit ironic in the final 30, 20 seconds of the game.
Well, I always love when you call in, and I love when you come on my show. I'd like to return the favor for you on April 24th, live from Green Bay for a NFL draft preview.
Oh, a little draft hit. Oh, so you're going to the draft, that's right?
I believe I am. I'm going to the draft.
No, we also thought we were going to the draft last year.
I did. We all did.
If you were there, because I know you are a super-duper serious sports guy, I expect a super-duper serious sports report from the draft afternoons of many of these same affiliates from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern on April 24th. I'd love to pop you back on, get a little Winkler Wednesday on a Thursday.
And I did tell you a few months ago that I'm available now again on Wednesdays, and I have yet to hear from you.
Well, that's a terrible job of my team. I told them to reach out. So I'm throwing my team under the bus. I said, we got to get Bart on. So that's a bad
look
job.
Look at this. I work with Carlos. Zach has a team.
I actually think they reached out to Carlos, and Carlos is like, yeah, Bart doesn't want to do that. That's what I heard.
Very true.
Did you see Carlos and I hung out the other day?
Yeah. So what, you guys went to a Cubs game?
Well, he told me, he's like, I'm flying back to Chicago to go to the home opener. And I'm sitting there like, if you're going to be that close to me, because it's a 90-minute drive.
Yeah, you got to go.
I got to go.
Yeah, and you're not a douchey talent, so you got to do right, and you got to go hang out with Carlos. I texted you guys when I saw you guys over the weekend. I want to do a road trip. Well, not a road trip, but fly. But I want to fly to Milwaukee, and I want to revisit Milwaukee with Carlos and see you. So I think we should do that.
Well, if the Bucks lose, they got a game and a half lead over the Pistons.
Yeah, what do you mean if?
Well, there's a Knicks Bucks possible 3-6 matchup. God, I don't want to play the Pacers. My God.
I think the NCAA tournament goes back to Milwaukee next year.
So again,
maybe we go for a little NCAA tournament.
We just had it. Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe that's in 2 years. So we'll figure out a trip. We'll get the details ironed out.
Or I could just like come to New York one day and like see where I work.
You could do that, and that would be easier on Carlos and I. But I love Milwaukee, and I love the people in Milwaukee, so I wouldn't mind going there.
All right. Well, Zach, always good to talk to you.
Maybe we do a home and home.
Yeah, we'll do a home and home. But you've already been here.
So then you come here. You'd be do a home and home, and then we'll pick a neutral site location.
Why don't the three of us just go to Vegas?
I am going to Vegas Cinco de Mayo weekend. I got a little bachelor party going on there in Vegas, so that should be fun.
I have changed the name of it. It's now called Winko de Mayo.
The guy is drunk.
Winko de Mayo. Yeah. I'll be very drunk that weekend, that's for sure.
All right. Zach, good to talk to you, bud.
Later, guys. Be well.
Zach Gelb, Infinity Sports Network, 3P to 6P Eastern. And then I'll let you fill in the rest. We've got some Guess What They Said Championship Edition. Kelvin Sampson did talk. This is from Daniel Bell. Says, Sampson is completely dejected at the podium. Says he's just been going through the last two possessions over and over, thinking about how they couldn't get a shot up. That is brutal. I think a lot of people are feeling for him. The long journey, what he's done with this program, and how they came up. Not just that they came up short, but how. So let's try to figure out what all these guys said. We'll do that coming up. This is the Bart Winkler Show.
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast. Here at the Bart Winkler Show, we give you hot takes, hot mics, and hot guesses.
It really doesn't matter what you say. And I'm hoping that nobody on our team is playing for you.
It's the audio of the day you need and the transcript you don't.
I'm not laughing about it. You think this is funny? I take this serious.
I'm real serious.
I put my heart and soul into this every single week.
The contestants are ready.
You play to win the game. Hello?
The Bart Winkler Show proudly presents Guess What They Said.
Listen, we're talking about practice. Not a game. We're talking about practice.
Here is tonight's host, Carlos with a K.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
Guess What They Said here on the Bart Winkler Shows exclusively. This is the one thing that we did not rip off from another show. All imposters to be hit with cease and desist. Mondays and Fridays here on the Infinity Sports Network. It is the game show sweeping the nation, at least we hope, because I don't think a lot of people know who we are. Bart, before we get into our championship edition, where Florida beats Houston for national title in college basketball, thus capping off the NCAA tournament, we need one obligatory Shedeur Sanders cut.
Ah.
Because we have to. It's required by law. So let's start off with Shedeur. I want you to guess what he said in regards to his message to teams who do not draft him. This is courtesy of ESPN. It's 11 seconds long. Guess what the younger Sanders had to say.
I'd say I'm sorry. I say they're going to regret it. I say they should have not passed on me, and I can't wait to play him on the field and they'll see that they should have taken me. Something like that.
All I need is opportunity. Simple. Whatever franchise want to change their franchise, then there's no doubt who to go with. I've done it over and over and over, so you'll be a fool not to pick me.
That is what we call in the biz a layup.
Thank you.
That's why it starts off, guess what they said, because usually I build you up only to crush your soul and bring you down with the rest.
Why do you build me up, Buttercup?
I have to tell you, just a sidebar, regards to that song, I absolutely hate it. Because when I joined the Army and I was in basic training, this one guy, for whatever reason, I forgot who the hell it was. I think it was Robinson. But one guy was caught singing. We never knew each other's first names. Everything was by last name. But I believe it was Robinson. Whatever. He was singing the song, and a drill sergeant heard him. And like, we're supposed to be cleaning the barracks. We're supposed to basically shut up and just do what we're supposed to do and go away. Don't be a nuisance. He's like singing the song. So the drill sergeant comes out of his office, is like, hey, stupid, shut up. And, you know, and the guy goes, sorry. But he doesn't say sorry, drill sergeant. He just goes, my bad. He's like, my bad? Okay, no problem. We're going to fix this. For the next 2 hours, we all, at the top of our lungs, had to sing, scream, why don't you build me up, Buttercup, over and over while cleaning the barracks. That was our little reminder to be quiet. Yeah. So no, I mean you triggered a memory.
Well, why does that culture have to exist?
Oh, there. So when I was thinking about becoming a drill sergeant school, a lot of that science was broken down to me in terms of why they do the things that they do. Basically, it's exactly how this game works. We are breaking you down to build you up. So now you know.
Got a joke? We'll pass on it. Do you still talk to anyone from Army?
Yeah, every so often. In fact, I just saw somebody over the weekend. A good friend of mine, Rodriguez, that I went to AIT with, which is basically job training school. And we went to Giordano's. That was pretty cool.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, good stuff. Army can build you for life landing stuff. I am not a paid spokesman. All right, let's finally get to our championship game. Getting Houston
even Netanyahu.
David Nettniash. If you don't get the reference, you can't sit with us. We wear pink on Wednesdays. Here is Kelvin Sampson. He did indeed spoke. He's the head coach of the Houston Cougars men's basketball team.
He indeed spoke. Okay.
He did. And I have proof of that right here. I want you to guess what he had to say in this 12-second clip on what the hell happened in that last possession. Guess what he said.
We had a chance for a shot. We didn't like the look. And, you know, you just got to remember in those moments that you got to get a shot off, and we were unable to execute. And I'm not sure. I'm not sure what happened. We didn't get the play we wanted.
We didn't score it well enough to win. We scored it well enough to be in a position to win. But you know, it comes down to those at the end. You gotta get a shot.
You gotta get a shot saved. You were tickling with it. You were playing with it around the rim, and then you finally slammed it home.
Okay.
Let any other innuendos gently guide you to the third clip here. You are 2-0. You could sweep this. But remember, we still play 5 clips anyway, just for people who are playing along at home. I'm sure there are people in the car screaming, hey, I need this. So let's go to Juwan Roberts in Houston. What's the worst part about losing? Well, he said what he said in 16 seconds, and I want you to guess what he had to say.
The worst part about losing is that, wow, what a question, is that we were right there. We were so close. We came all this way. And we're so close, and then we couldn't get the job done. We couldn't execute. A couple different plays, and we're champions forever. And instead, we couldn't get it done.
I'm proud of these guys, but I'm mostly sad that I can't do with them again. That's the worst part. Mm. I'm not gonna be teammates with Emmanuel again. LJ, Malik, Jay. This is by far out of my 6 years the best team I've been on.
Not being able to be teammates with his guys after this season.
I don't know if I want to hear anymore from Houston. That's sad. Jeez.
It is, which is why, like, kind of to your point earlier, do we have to hear from the losing team?
No.
But I think we do. Again, we would crush these kids and we would crush coaches if they don't speak and, like, take accountability. It's such a lose-lose for a losing team. Like, and I don't mean like that to be a twist on words. It's just literally, they're damned if they do and they damned if they don't. I personally could live without it. I want to hear what went right. Tell me why you guys were able to win. I saw how you lost. I don't need an explanation to break down the X's and O's of how you lost. You couldn't get it done. So let's switch gears. We'll finally get into the happier side of things. To the victor, go to spoils. Florida, congratulations. Your Gators are national champions in the college basketball landscape. For everybody who's taking score at home, Bart is 2-1. The game continues anyway. Here is head coach Todd Golden on what put his team over the top. I want you to guess what he said there. It's 17 seconds long. What did Todd Golden attribute to his team's success this season?
It's that fight. It's that we never gave up. We looked at each other. We believed in each other. We know what kind of team we are. And we just know that we're never out of these games. We've been battle-tested all season long, battle-tested in this tournament. And we just have that belief that until the final whistle sounds, that we are in this game and we can win this game.
Obviously, we have an incredibly talented group, one of the most talented groups individually in America. But I do think what separates us and what has separated us all season long is our team talent and the way our guys have played together and for each other all year. And because of that, we can call each other national champions for the rest of our lives.
I'm sorry, team camaraderie is what I was looking forward. Everybody's kumbaya, they hold hands, they sing songs by the campfire. So for that, you are 2-2. You have any rebuttal with that? Any complaints with the scoring? I think that's been fair so far.
No, I think I had a good framework of the answer. He just said the one word that I didn't say. He said talent and I said fight. Everything else, if he would have said fight, it would have been great. He said talent. That's not what I said.
All right. So you need this in order to secure a victory and kick off the week on the right foot. But we had a good show today, so it'd be the right foot anyway. You'll just be a loser. Here is former Iona Gale, current Florida Gator, and also current national champion, Walter Clayton Jr. He didn't have a great night. You would have told me he would have finished off with just points in the teens, and his team still would have found a way to win. I would have told you you're lying, but that's exactly what happened. So I want you to guess what Walter Clayton Jr. had to say on how he was able to stay focused despite a tough night. This is 13 seconds long. Reminder, you need this to win. Guess what Clayton Jr. had to say.
I think he's going to go the teammate route. My teammates were there. They were picking up what I couldn't deliver. I knew as long as they were battling hard, I'd battle hard. The shots would fall eventually. It's a 40-minute game. Just got to stay with it. But I couldn't let them down. And, you know, all the credit to my teammates and maybe even God, too.
Man, we've been saying it all year, man. Our motto is we all can go, man. We got a team full of guys that could go. It ain't just about me. We got multiple guys on this go that could go get a bucket and do anything. So my team held me down until I was able to put the ball in the basket. Shout out to them boys.
You know what that means. 3-2, you get the win. He gave all the credit to his team. No mention of God, though, but I'll still take a point for that anyway, because if I take away that point, I might get struck by lightning. So, Bart, congratulations. That is Guess What They Said.
Much smoother than the last time we did it when you were half pointing me to death.
A lot of fractions. We won't be doing that again. And by we, I mean me. Nobody told me there would be math.
And then you added the math.
On the fly, which is bad because I work here and I should not be anywhere near numbers.
And we got a good army story out of it. That was good.
Well, you didn't like it.
Sure I did.
I like knowing about when other people make you do things. Because then it gives me a little more freedom to be a jerk to you. Knowing
like
you
did
it.
Last hour.
Yeah. 888-710-4ISN. We'll get you guys here, wrap things up with talk of the national championship, which has gone in favor of Florida. For more on that, here's an update with Marco Belletti. Thanks for sticking around. Kevin Kugler, the Westwood One NCAA Radio Network. That's one of those plays where you're calling live and it's like, you then have to go back to further describe what the hell just happened. Shot attempt never fully got out of the hand. Put back onto the court and then a mad scramble for the ball, which Florida came up with. And they also came up with a championship, beating Houston 65-63 tonight. 888-710-4ISN. Brandon is in Chicago to chat about it. Brandon.
Yo, what's good, B-Dub? Los with the K. Thanks for taking my call, man.
What's good?
What's good, man? So I think what they were trying to do is what they've been doing good all year is, like, at least get a shot attempt up, and they were to get an offensive rebound and put it back up, but they couldn't even get one off, unfortunately.
Yeah, you got to get a rebound, you got to get it to the hoop first.
Exactly, man. But I think we knew what was going to happen in this game. You know, other players were going to have to step up. But Clayton got it done, man. He affected the game in different ways. You know, he got the assist. He, you know, played good defense and, you know, got the game back in control at the foul line. But, you know, kind of what Houston did with the Warriors, you know, they shut down Steph, but, you know, nobody else stepped up and Houston was able to make some shots. But,
sure.
You know, as regarding the tournament and everything, you know, I think we like to see the Cinderella win because everybody likes it when the little guy makes it. You know what I mean? It makes everybody feel good. And then,
well, we like it in the moment, Brandon, but then we don't. Then like, if Duke gets knocked out that first weekend, it's so great for a lot of people. But then we're not watching it as much if Duke's not in, you know, the Final Four. It's just we want to have both, kind of.
Yeah, we did get a good game, though. I mean, we know this is why we love sports, you know. When it comes down to the last minute or last shot, I mean, you know, in the Super Bowl when Russ throws that pick, you know, countless, you know, the Bulls game with the Lakers, that incredible comeback, and, you know, they were down 12 points and probably even less time and came back to win. This is why we love sports, man, the highs and lows. And it's just like life, you know, and you just got to be resilient and, you know, try and come on top at the end.
Yep, the swings of life, Brandon. Thank you for the call. Some days you're very high, and some days it's unbelievably low, and sometimes for 3 days in a row, it's very low. Why? And then for like 5 minutes, it goes up again because of some weird tweet, and then it goes down again. I'm talking about life. Rob is in Connecticut. Rob.
Hey, Bart. Oh, Captain, my captain. Boy, I tell you, I was practicing patience and tolerance tonight, but it's well worth it when I get to talk to you. Let me tell you.
I was too. I had to be patient waiting to get to you. I was like, come on, yeah. Get the Rob already. Yeah.
Well, I actually enjoyed Zach tonight. I agreed with him on a lot of things. But first off, I did get a chance to put the hockey game on the other day, like I told you, Friday night, and I called it. It was nice to see Ovechkin get that goal. It was beautiful.
Oh, yeah, probably should bring that up tonight, huh? Yeah, you got the record.
I was emotional. I had tears in my eyes. It was a great, great thing. I hope he reaches 900. And also, living in Connecticut, UConn Husky women's.
Yeah.
All right. We enjoyed that thoroughly. But tonight's game, I was a little disappointed at the end. I was hoping that they were going to try and get the ball to Cryer, make that shot, because I think if they had gotten the ball to Cryer, he would have hit the three. And it reminded me, I think the greatest championship game that I was ever able to witness was 1984, NC State against Houston. I was living in Houston at that time, and we were rooting for 5 slam-a-jammas, so that was the most memorable for me. But tonight's game was very entertaining. I just wish that he hadn't dropped the ball. And what are you going to do? You know, I feel for the kids, and I feel for Sampson, Coach Sampson. You know, things happen. Life goes on. And tough one. But now I'm looking forward to the Stanley Cup playoffs. Here we go.
Rob, for a silver lining, appreciate the call and for you waiting. In many preseason polls, Houston is ranked number one already in the way too early 2026 top 25. Van is in North Carolina. Van.
How we doing?
What's up?
So I was wanting to know, like, I have not once heard anybody talk about the last possession with the Saturday night game with Duke and Houston. 3.7 seconds, and Duke decided to throw it all the way down the court and not even try to, like...
Yeah, that was weird. That was a weird throw.
Like, why is that not being talked about? Everybody talks about Cooper Flagg's last shot. Everybody talks about, was that the shot they want to take? Nobody talks about why they threw it all the way down the court with 3.7 seconds. It made no sense. You can catch it at the three-point line. You catch it at half-court line, and you can still get a decent shot in.
Yeah, I'm trying to – I'm going through my text right now because I text one of my buddies. I can't find it, but I ended up writing two paragraphs about how that was the dumbest throw I've ever seen.
Nobody's talking about that. No, everybody's talking about Cooper Flagg's last shot, a fadeaway. Yes, I'm glad they got a last shot in, but, like, that was not what was needed at that particular time. Like 3.7 seconds. If you look back with one of the other callers that talked about Jenkins' shot with Villanova, like, do you have plenty of time to get a decent shot in?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because I had not gotten to that tonight, but it was something that I was very bewildered at in the moment.
Yep.
So I'm glad you brought that up.
It threw me for a loop because, like, I'm a Carolina fan, and I'm like, no, did I want Duke to win? No, but I was like, why? After a timeout, that can't be your best shot at extending the game. Like, that's terrible.
Van, thanks for the call, and thanks for bringing that up. That was a weird, rushed ending. Both of these, I mean, that was a rushed ending. This is going to be remembered for a long time, how Florida was able to come back. And they led for 63 seconds in this game. Florida winning, UConn winning for the women. A chaotic weekend of college basketball. Yeah, the road to get here maybe not as exciting as in the past, but certainly paid off with a great Final Four. Tomorrow, we only had two NBA games tonight, and they were early to try to get out of the way. Kings beat the Pistons. Heat beat the Sixers. Ton of games tomorrow and the next day. And the next day is we got to try to squeeze in here. Like, everyone's got three or four games they got to squeeze in by Sunday. The races to watch, the race to watch is this Western Conference going to go crazy. You've got six teams in between two games of each other. The Lakers are the 3 seed at 48-30. The Nuggets would be the 4 seed at 47-32. And then the Clippers, Warriors, Timberwolves, and Grizzlies are all 46-32. So two of those teams, I think the Lakers, the worst they can finish is, no, they could be playing too. Two of those teams between the Lakers, Nuggets, Clippers, Warriors, Timberwolves, and Grizzlies are going to be in the play-in tournament against each other. And the other ones will get a reprieve from that. So there's going to be some battles here over the next couple of days. If there wasn't a play-in tournament, they'd be jockeying for position, and you'd really be trying to stay out of the eight anyway because you won't want to play the Thunder, or maybe you think you could get them. So this is added a little bit in terms of, hey, we're either playing one game or two games to advance or we're not, but it is going to be a chaotic and crazy situation. The playing teams, we do know who they will be in the East: Magic, Hawks, Bulls, and Heat. I want to thank Mark Ryan, Florida alum. You hear him on the Infinity Sports Network. I want to thank Zach Gelb. Where'd he go? Temple? He always talks about that, doesn't he? I went to the University of Wisconsin La Crosse. Want to thank Marco Belletti and Carlos Ortiz. David Shepard up next. It's the Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.
Bringing a data center online takes more than equipment. It takes precision. Graybar helps customers predict, stage, schedule, deliver, and verify every step of the build with critical products that are available now. From networking and wireless to critical power and testing tools, our teams help you reduce downtime risk and keep projects on track. Speed. Scale. Ready now. Yep. Graybar does that.